Once again, it's an honor to have you worship the Lord with us today. We've been doing a series on ready or not. Say, ready or not. And we see that throughout Scripture, ready or not, one day, and only the Father knows, Jesus will return, ready or not. Today we're going to be ending this series. Next week we have a guest speaker, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth. Amazing, you saw those videos, has amazing miracles, amazing. The five of us are like, yeah, I'm so excited. The rest are like, I encourage you to come. We're going to have extended meetings. We're doing Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. So it gives you a chance to bring somebody unsaved, bring somebody who's sick, bring somebody who's in a wheelchair, and watch what God does. Amen? But we've been doing this series on Ready or Not, and we're ending today. And I basically want to wrap it up with the concept. So we've talked about how to not only get ready, but be ready for the return of the Lord. How to be ready, how to stay ready. That was last week, the CD you've got in your hands now. But a lot of times, if we don't know, in the Christian mindset, they think that it's just about, okay, I prayed, I'm going to heaven, and that's over. But you have to realize that God loves to bless or promote his people. Don't you like a promotion? I've never had somebody say, you know, I went to work the other day, Pastor, I got such a problem. What's the matter? Oh, horrible week. What happened? Went to work, they called me to the office. Wow, okay, they want to promote me. I just don't want it. They want to raise my salary. I told them not over my dead body. I just got my budget fixed. You're not messing it up. Nobody does that, right? We like promotion. We like graduations. We like going up to the next level. And what you have to remember is that when you get to heaven, there is going to be opportunities that you stand before the throne of God, the throne of Jesus, and have a opportunity to discover your level of promotion in heaven. See, what you do with the cross on this side of eternity determines where you spend eternity. What you do with the cross, what you do with salvation in this life will determine where you spend, heaven or hell. But how you live life after you get saved determines how, your level of reward in heaven. And it's just not the same for everybody, and it's not guaranteed to everybody, because we're going to look at today that you can get to heaven but lose some of your reward that's available to you. So our talk today is going to be how to make sure when you get to heaven that you will receive your full reward. And that's what we're going to look at today. Would you bow your head as we begin with prayer? Father, we thank you. This is the day that you have made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. We thank you for the things that we don't know, you do know. The places we haven't even been this week, you've already been there. You know what we need, what you're going to bring to us, what you're doing in our lives. And Father God, I pray that you open our hearts and our minds. Bring comfort, strength, encouragement, direction, guidance. I thank you that you're drawing us closer to you and to the image of your Son. Help us to not only get ready, help us to not only be ready, but help us to receive our full reward when we get to heaven. And we thank you for that. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Don't get me wrong. Getting to heaven and escaping hell, huge deal. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? Huge deal. I don't want you to misunderstand. Huge deal. Heaven's real. Hell's real. Both are extreme. Beyond your imagination, that's a big deal. But you can get to heaven and not receive your full reward. Let's look at a few verses. Let's talk about just that judgment time. Revelation 20, verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were open." Notice the word books. It didn't say book. It said books were open, including the book of life. The book of life, a lot of Christians know about, because we see in Scripture where Jesus even talks about, be glad that your name is written in the book of life. But there's other books in heaven recording everything. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Verse 13. Let's look at the next verse. "The sea gave up its dead. The death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds." Now pay attention to the next verse. "Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire." This lake of fire is the second death. So the lake of fire is what's referred to in the Bible as the second death. The second death. Okay? Then death and grave, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So you can see that there's going to be a judgment for everybody by their works, and those whose names are not recorded in the book of life, the final judgment will be the lake of fire. Those whose names are not written in the book of life, their destination is the second death, the lake of fire. Now, why would God judge people's deeds or works if they were going to end up in the lake of fire anyway? I believe it's the mercy and also the justice of God to allow people, because in their minds they can say, I'm a good person. I don't need to go to hell. I need to go to heaven. But good people don't go to heaven. Only forgiven people go to heaven. And they could stand before God and say, but what about these things? So I believe it's the justice of God so that they see their life. This is what you've done. This is what you were doing. And here's the end result. And it doesn't reach the bar. It does not match that level. That's why the law was introduced. You got to keep in mind that the law was given. The Bible says that the law of Moses was introduced to be a tutor. You know what a tutor does? A tutor helps you learn something. What was the learning process? That you could never be good enough to be righteous on your own. The whole thing of the law is that it was to be a tutor so people realized that they were sinners in need of a Savior so they could be forgiven. So those who say, I'm good enough, God will say, all right, let's look at your life. Here's what you did. Here's what you did. Here's what you did. And here's how it came out. Here's what it means. It's fallen short. Because at the end of the day, it's not what you've done. It's who you've received. It's for receiving salvation. Having your name written in the book of life. Okay? And so the humanity is going to be judged accordingly. Now, we could sit there and be excited and say, I'm saved. I'm glad my name's written in the book of life. And praise God, we're going to heaven. But then there's another judgment seat called the Bema seat in the original text. And it's the seat of Christ, judgment. And that is for promotion. That's based on who we are and how we lived on this earth as believers. We're going to heaven. Now we're looking at our reward. We see in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, New Living says, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. This is not standing before the throne of God, the Father. This is standing before his Son, Jesus Christ. Notice Paul didn't say to the Corinthian church, for they must all stand before Christ, referring to those who don't know him. He didn't say, for you must. He said, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive, notice what it is, we will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. So while you're on the earth, what good or evil you've done, you'll receive the reward or the lack thereof based on your lifestyle. Because the devil will tell people, oh, you know what I mean, you don't have to go to heaven, or just do what you want, and at the last minute, and you can miss the whole thing by playing that game. I'm going to live the way I want, and I'll just, at the last minute, I'll go to church, or I'll bow my knee, and I'll pray a quick prayer right before the rapture. You know what I mean? That's not going to work. That's a bad plan. I'll just say, that's a stupid plan. That's a sucker's plan. You don't do that. But the devil will sell, if he can't stop you from going to heaven, he'll try to stop you from doing what God wants you to do and tell you, oh, you've made it, you prayed the prayer, now just do whatever you want. Don't worry about anything else. And not that you should be worried about stuff, but that you should be focused on what God wants you to do. Oh, don't worry about doing what God wants you to do. Just live your life. You've prayed that prayer. You're not killing anybody. You'll make it. But we have to realize, as believers, we will all stand before Christ to be judged. It's like a report card. It's like an opportunity. Our life is a testing opportunity for eternity. You're going to see, not based on if you should make it into heaven, that's based on the book of life and salvation, but what's the return? What's the reward above that? And so I'm going to look at a few things. Number one, we got to understand that your Heavenly Father loves you. It's His desire, it's His design that you receive a full reward. We see this in Scripture several places. Revelation 22:12, Jesus said, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. I'm coming soon. Say, He's coming soon. I'm telling you, folks, in my heart, with everything in me, I'm telling you, I believe within my heart, He's coming soon. I believe we are in a season of the last days. Now, you might disagree, and that's fine, and I could be totally wrong, and that's fine, but I live with such an expectancy. I wonder almost every day, is this the day? Is this the day? Even the natural things that have to be fulfilled in prophecy, things can happen quick. And things are coming in place to where it looks like He's coming soon. I believe with everything in my heart, we are the generation that will see the return of Jesus Christ. You will see. You'll have that trumpet. Now, you can disagree, and that's okay. That's okay. I encourage you, we challenge you throughout this series to live your life where you're making decisions as if he's never coming back, okay? Because I don't want anybody to walk away and say, he's going to come back soon. I don't have to get an education, or I don't need to go to work, or I'm going to go buy a bunch of stuff on credit because I know I won't have to make a payment. No, that's foolishness. So you live as if he's never coming back in your lifetime, but you live also every day as if he's coming back that day with the expectancy. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. I'm reminded of that phrase when my daughter, who's now 7, she was about, what, 3? I'm looking at my wife, about 3 years old. She went into the kitchen where my wife was at and said, Mommy, Mommy, pulling on her leg. She said, What, Logan? She goes, Jesus is in the other room. And she was like, Yeah, right. But she wouldn't stop. Mommy, Mommy, Jesus is in the next room. So finally Kim's like, All right, I'll just appease her so I can get on and do what I need to do. And she said, Take Mommy's hand, show me where he's at. She walked her into the dining room, pointed right to a chair, and says, There's Jesus. Kim's like, Oh my, I don't see anything, but she's seen something. She said, Well, what is he saying? And my 3-year-old at that time, who doesn't have much background in theological prophecy, Bible doctrine, looked up to her mommy and said, He said, He's coming soon. I'm telling you, folks, he is coming soon. He is coming soon. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. See, anybody who's afraid of this judgment seat is because we know we're not doing what we should be doing. When you're living the life that you're living, it shouldn't be a fearful thing. It should be an exciting anticipation. Amen. I mean, it's like when the boss says, you know, I want you to come into my office Friday. We're going to look over your past year, and I'm going to give you a raise or demotion based on your, you know, I mean, you're excited if you know that you're, come on, some of you are frowning right now. I'm just looking down. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Hebrews 11:6, he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. 1 Timothy 4:8 shows us that it's not only rewards this life but life to come. Spiritual exercise is more important, for it promises a reward both in this life and the next. You have to understand, serving the Lord doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. Doesn't mean everybody's going to like you, but it is the best life you can live because God wants to reward you in this life and the life to come. And we got to maintain the balance of both of those. Some just think about this life and they forget about eternity. Some just think about eternity. Remember the old songs of the church? It was all about getting to heaven. Praise God for that. But there was nothing about what God wanted to do on this side of eternity. And then we go into a season where it's all about this side of eternity, but nothing about going into heaven. I think there needs to be a balance. Come on, somebody. He wants to reward you in this life, but also in the life to come when we do what he's asked us to do. Let me give you a few examples of rewards that God wants to bring into your life. One is a reward of authority or position. We see this played out as a wise servant in Matthew 24:47. We'll not read it, but I'll just reference it for your own study. In the latter part of Matthew 24, it talks about whom the Lord, when this master comes back, whom that he put in charge of his household, if he finds him still doing what he's supposed to do, if he's a wise and faithful servant, that he will promote him, he will put him in charge over all his goods. You see, in Matthew 25, the story of the wise and faithful servants that were given talents. One was given a 1 talent, 1 3, 1 5. And the 5 turned his 5 into 10, the 3 turned his 3 into 6, and the 1 kept his all to himself. And when the master returned, he looked to the 5 that made it into 10 and said, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think that should be a cry of all of our hearts. When we get to heaven, the Father looks at us and says, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want you to know that he didn't look at the 10 and say, Well done, but to the 6, almost as good. No, he looked to both of them and said, Well done, because everybody starts with something different with their talents and destiny and gift. That's why you shouldn't compare and compete yourself with some other people around you. You have your race. The Bible says, Run the race that is set before you, not a race that is set before other people. We have to be sensitive to God to say they might be on a different level, but that's okay. They have a different race. I'm assigned to run my race, to fight my fight, to finish my course, and that's what you're judged according to your father. And to the three that turned to six, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, the five that turned into ten, he said, you know what? Not only are you entered into the joy of the Lord, but I'm going to make you ruler over 10 cities. The one from three to six, I'm going to make you ruler over 6 cities. The one that went, that kept the one, he said, you are a foolish and not a wise, you are a foolish, lazy servant. And he took the one he had and gave it to the one that had 10, so that he that hath more will be given. Come on, somebody. And that he does not have, that which he has will be taken and given to somebody else. What am I showing you? That even in that parable, the 3 to the 6 or the 5 to the 10, they both were rewarded accordingly, but it was just not coming into heaven. And praise God for that. It's just not coming into the joy of the Lord. Praise God for that. But it was also an increase of authority and position. See, heaven's not a place where you're going to float around like a little baby in diapers and wings and playing a harp, floating around doing nothing in a dream state forever. No, no, there is assignments, there's authority. God is a kingdom mindset. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Jesus said, on earth as it is in heaven. There is a order of God in heaven. There is a ranking in heaven. There is an authority. There is, I got to move on. So there is an increase of position. There's also an increase of possession. Back to those wise and faithful servants. They had increase. They got to keep. And the 10 even received more. We see in Luke's gospel chapter 19, the 10 servants were all each given 10 pounds. And based on what they did, there was an increase. So your heavenly Father not only wants to increase your position, he wants to increase your possession. Hallelujah. Not that you have to buy anything in heaven, because everything's free, but you got streets of gold, you got mansions, there is stuff your Heavenly Father has been preparing for you. Come on, somebody. Yeah. The Bible also talks about this thing called crowns. Let me give you 4 crowns. There is a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, and 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Let's look at that again one more time. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Let's say that one more time. I have fought a good fight. There's going to be fights in this life. It's a good fight of faith. I'm going to believe even then. I don't see it, feel it, hear it. I'm going to do what God tells me. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. And he goes on to say, therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the eternal judge Jesus Christ will give to me at that last day. But just not for Paul, because we could stop there and say, oh, that was just for Paul, because look at all that God's done. But he said, and to all who are looking and expecting and are positively, happily looking toward his return. So that means you and I, based on finishing your race, you'll get a crown of righteousness. Fight a good fight. You'll get a crown of righteousness. There's a second crown that we want to talk about, and that's the crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4 talks about the crown of glory. Referring to those who, it refers to kings as elders, it could be ministers, it could be full-time ministers. I believe it's men and women of God who feed the flock, who take care of the people in the church, who are ministering to people, helping other Christians grow spiritually. I don't believe you have to have a full-time calling to do this. I believe this is not necessarily the fivefold ministry. I believe because around here we encourage and challenge you and teach you that if you want to live the life that Jesus has for you, we call it a John 10:10 dynamic life. John 10:10 says abundant. We call it dynamic living. And that's living at a level where Jesus said, if you try to keep everything for yourself, you're not going to have much of a life. The world will tell you, hoard it all, keep it all, don't share it all, and get as much as you can. And the more they hang on to, the less they have, and the emptier they are, and they're unhappy, and they can't figure out, oh my God, I guess I just need more to make me happy. And they strive for more, and they never get it. Listen, if fame, riches, and power, and possessions made you happy, then why are these people on TV all messed up on drugs, going through divorce, mind messed up, confused, acting stupid, playing the fool, being crazy? Because it's just not about stuff. God don't mind you having stuff. God doesn't mind you having a nice house or car or possessions. He just doesn't want that stuff to have you. When you understand their placement, that Jesus is the only one that can fill that space on the inside of you, that makes you feel content, that makes you whole. And Jesus said there is those who try to keep everything and they're going to lose it, but there's those who lay their life down for me and the gospel's sake, and they will find true life. That's why Lord. We teach around here the greatest level of living is living for the Lord, that you're willing to lay your life down to help other people. It's just not about you. It's about him and what he wants to do in and through you. And you'll begin to live a life that you begin to impact other people. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want to give my heart to the Holy Lord. He might send me to a foreign country mission field with no running water. Listen, God's not going to send you to that if that's not your calling. You know it's your calling because he'll place the desire in your heart to do that calling. You know, that's a lie of the devil to make you fearful. You ought to give your heart to the Lord, because when you start serving God with everything in you, life is so good. It doesn't mean everybody likes you. It doesn't mean you don't have problems. It does mean that God is working in you, that even in the storm, you can have peace. Even in a challenge, you can have victory. You're not called to be a victim, but a victor through the challenges of life. And the greatest life there is on this earth is living with Jesus as Lord of your life and giving your heart and life to him completely and totally. So we encourage people, we want you to live dynamically, and we want you to live at a level where it's not about just your stuff. It's about him and his stuff and what he wants you to do. It's about helping other people. It's about encouraging people, praying with people, teaching people. See, I'm a firm believer, if your whole Christian walk in faith and prayer is all about your stuff, you'll never reach all that God has for you. When you make him a priority and take care of his stuff, he'll take care of your stuff. Amen. And if you're in that boat of you spend your life and you help people and you encourage people and you teach people the word of God and you disciple people, mentor people, whatever you call it, you're helping people in their walk with God, there is stored up for you a crown. Hallelujah. And if you're not, let me encourage you. Get your eyes off yourself and start looking around for the people. You can't reach everybody, but God is designed for you to reach somebody. You don't have to know everything to help somebody. You just have to know what they need at that time. And if you don't, you say, here, I'll help you find somebody who does know. And you can partner with somebody to help them. It might be for a moment. It might be a season. It might be a lifetime. Whatever it is, the reality of God will give you opportunities to help people in their walk with God. And if you're not doing that, I encourage you to do it, because if you'll do it, when the Lord returns, you'll not only go to heaven, but you'll have a crown. Did you hear me? You'll have a crown. You'll have a crown of glory. Woo. The third crown I want to talk about is the crown of life. James 1 verse 12 talks about this. This is for those who endure temptation, those who stand strong and make it through. See, I believe what the enemy meant for evil, God doesn't cause the temptation. James says, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Okay? But what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn it for good. So in your hardest day where you say, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Lord, I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. I can't figure this out. What am I supposed to do? What's my next step? Let me encourage you, having done all, stand, because as you stand, he will fight for you. And if you'll endure to the end, there is a crown available to you. A crown of life that said, it was hard, but I stood strong. It was difficult, but I didn't give in. I didn't bow my knee. I didn't let go. I didn't fall back. I didn't walk away. I didn't water down. I didn't change who I was. I stayed true to my design and destiny by God. I stood strong. This doesn't mean that you need to go around looking for problems or creating problems. Some people in the church world will take this and say, oh, I need another crown, so I'm going to create me a problem. No, they're strife builders. They're creating strife. They're creating problems. You don't have to do that. But I'm saying, when the enemy's trying to take you out and take you down or get you to stop, if he can't stop you, he'll try to deter you. But if you'll stand strong, there is a crown of life. And if you're here today and you've been struggling, say, oh, I just feel like I'm at my last wits end. I don't know what I'm going to do. I encourage you, stand strong. Stand strong. Having done all, stand strong. Having done all, stand strong. For he is faithful and just. The work that he's begun in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! You are not forgotten. You are not overlooked. You have not been... Oh, come on, somebody. God has not bypassed you for somebody. He has got his eye. If he sees a sparrow fall from the tree, Jesus said, how much more important are you than that sparrow? That even the hairs of your head are numbered. I don't care if you're going through a great time or bad time. Your heavenly Father has not forgotten you. He has not neglected you. He has not left you. He is not ignoring you. He is watching you, and he's given you the authority. So what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will not permit will be looser. What you bind, which means you say, will not permit, and what you loose, which means you allow. He's given you authority to rise up. And many times we cry and say, God, I'm hurting. Help me. And God's looking down and saying, I've already given you the tools. I've given you the power. I've given you my son's name. Go in my name. Rise up. Rise up and take your position of authority and be what he's called you to be. You're not a victim. You're not a victim. You're not a victim. The giant will roar. The giant will toss. But there's a David on the inside with the anointing of God to rise up. With the Spirit of God will rise up in you and say, I'm going to charge my greatest nightmare to let that giant know and everybody around me know that there's still a God who is alive and present and doing amazing miracles today. Hallelujah! You are not defeated. You are not defeated. Are you listening to me? I'm talking to somebody. If there's a breath in your lungs, if your heart is beating, you have another fight in you. Don't you give up. The devil maybe knocked your teeth out, spit on you, and said it's all over. But if you got breath in you, he should have never messed with you in the first place. You let him know that when you rise up, you're just not coming out of this ahead. You're going to take what belonged to him that he has stole from others. Because the Bible tells me that a strong man is secure until a stronger than he and all his goods are safe, until a stronger than he shows up, and then he can take when he binds them and take all his goods. I'm trying to help somebody today. See, the devil doesn't play fair, but God gives you the authority. So you shouldn't fight the battle to get back where you were. You need to fight the battle to not only beat the devil and get what you lost, but take more than you have. Come on, somebody. Something on the inside of you should start rising up and said, oh, that devil should have never messed with me. I just don't want that back. I want more. David said, what's the reward to the guy who takes this? It's okay because there's plunder when you win a battle. Come on, somebody. So enduring temptation coming out is a crown of life. Let me give you the fourth one. The crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Paul talks about to the church, those who he led to the Lord, you are that crown to me. You are the crown of rejoicing. See, when you win people to the Lord, Proverbs says, whoever wins souls is wise. When you win people to the Lord, when you witness to people, if you were in that whole process of witnessing to them, praying with them, and bringing them in, or as Paul says, one man plants, another man waters, but God gives the increase, and you're part of it. Either way, when people get saved because God, you allow God to work through you, I love these tagged by God wristband because they are one of many different opportunities as a church that we have to be used by God in the rhythm, something that's easy, something that's practical, but something that's powerful, and we've seen people get saved. See, you're part of that. And when you're part of allowing God to use you to be the church, to see others get saved, the Bible says that there is a crown for you. There's a crown. Did you hear me? There is a crown. It's a crown of rejoicing. There is a crown of rejoicing. But we have to realize that when we get to heaven, it's not a matter of, oh, look at all the crowns I got in my box. Oh, you don't have any in your box? Oh, look what I got. No. Well, the Bible tells us that we're going to take our crowns and lay them at the feet of Jesus. Because it's not what we did, but it's what he did through us. Come on, somebody. Because he wants you to live beyond yourself so you have no question, shadow of doubt, that it was him that promoted you, that it was him that blessed you, that it was him that healed you, that it was him that worked through you to build that business. It was him that gave you that idea. It was him that allowed you to reach those people. It was him that gave you that influence and that authority. Come on, somebody. We don't want to be those Christians that make it to heaven and we want to hide back in the crowd. And your friends say, aren't you going to bring your crown to the Lord? Yeah, I'll be right there. Hang on, I got to make a phone call. There's no phone calls. We're in heaven. Second John verse 8 says, be diligent so that you will receive your full reward. You know what that tells me? A couple things. Number one, that if I'm not diligent, I won't receive my full reward. See, there'll be people that get to heaven that will not receive their full reward. That's not the plan of God. That's why the devil can't keep you out of eternity or heaven. He'll try to get you where you just get barely in there. And a lot of people live their Christian walk that way. Oh, I don't need to read the Bible. I'm not having no problems today. I don't need to pray. I'm not in a crisis. I don't need to go to church. You know, I was able to pay my bills this month. And they live a crisis management Christianity where they only come to God when they need something. And they might get to heaven because of the blood of Jesus and the mercy and grace of God, but they'll miss out on the reward that their Heavenly Father has for them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we have already, and that's Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done." See, you'll stand before God. You'll lay all that you have accomplished before the throne of God, and fire will consume it. Notice here, the fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that means if it's not burnt up, then that builder will receive a reward. God forbid if we stand before the throne of God and we've built and brought a big box of all the stuff we've done and built, and the fire of God burns it to ash and we stand there with loss. Though going into heaven, a life that was not lived for the Lord. A life that didn't reach people. A life that didn't make the difference that God wanted to. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father." It's obeying God. It's obeying the Father. How can I guarantee if I'm going to build a life that will last? It's learning to do what the will of the Father is for your life, following the word of God. It's not a matter of me coming up with 1,000 different rules for you to do and not to do. Then that would be the 1,000 rules of Pastor Greg. And that probably won't carry that much weight when the fire hits. And I'm not going to stand there and you look at me and say, "But he told me," and I'm going, excuse me. It's all about you and your relationship with Jesus. Out of that relationship, obeying God. Out of the leading of the Holy Spirit, obeying God. Out of the instruction of the Word of God, obeying God. When we do that, the Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Let me close with this phrase. What you do with the cross determines where you will spend eternity. But how you live your life or what you do with your life after salvation determines how you'll spend eternity. It's the desire of your Heavenly Father that you receive your full reward. Yes. Be diligent, which means be consistent. Don't be occasional with God. Be consistent with God. And whatever that means to your heart, pursue God, obey God, develop a relationship with God, trust Him and walk out the Word of God at your level, at your faith, at your revelation, and keep growing. Keep going. Keep doing. Keep serving. You might say, "Well, what God's asked me to do in the church, you know, doesn't seem as important." Listen, Jesus said, if you get a cup of cold water unto a child, you will not lose your reward. There's a reward for working with children. There's a reward. There's a reward for obeying God and what He's asked you to do. Amen? Amen. Be diligent, because if we like it or not, believe it or not, ready or not, He is coming back. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap, please.